even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey guys, this is Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard. For this week's podcast, I have Mac Miller calling in from LA, and it's The Real's Jeff and Eric Rosenthal co-hosting with me. Guys,
hi.
Oh, thanks, Mac.
So you guys have some history, some beef?
No, there's no beef. Yeah, white rappers can't exist.
It was more of a love triangle. I'm actually kind of upset right now because I'm on iTunes and they have like R&B and soul in the same category. So I'm trying to figure out how to get through soul music here. It's really rough out here. But they group soul music and R&B together. That's kind of weird to me.
Well, they group you and hip-hop, which like is very confusing to me.
I know, I've always been confused. I thought I was more like alternative.
I thought that you were more like... I mean, what's Macklemore?
Oh, you guys.
Wait, can I just say that Jeff and I were out in L.A. for a week, and one night... we went to this, like...
it was a secret club.
Yeah, it's like a speakeasy and in the middle of the town. And it's one-third owned by Olivia Wilde. Like, it's a place for celebrities to go to and not have to deal with, like, any other, like...
any riffraff like us. So somehow we got in.
We got in, and we're sitting at a banquette, and all of a sudden the girl who I'm talking to looks over at the door and waves over to someone. And I turn to my right, and it's Owen Wilson, the actor, sitting down in our banquette. And so we get to talking, and he starts, like, eating his meal. And I'm like, this is so wild. I can't believe he's here talking to us. He learns that we're hip-hop sketch comedians. And the first thing he says is that he's like, oh, I was just reading a piece in The New Yorker about a guy named Peter Rosenberg. Do you know him? We're like, do we know him? He's our friend, and he lives across the street from us. And he was like, really interesting guy. And we're like, oh, that's amazing. And he's like, also, last night I was hanging out with a rapper named Mac. Do you know him? A lot of tattoos. We're like, yes, Mac Miller. He's a friend of ours. We were on his TV show. And he goes,
he was like, I was hanging out at my neighbor Rick Rubin's house, and we were going from hot tub to ice bath to hot tub.
So
wait.
So Mac, we need you to explain what was going on.
Were you in a hot tub?
No. It's a sauna. And did you read that story off a cue card?
No. We've just told the story a bunch since we got back from L.A.
I mean, I'm out here getting spiritual. And no. But Rick got Rick got me meditating out here. I can't say much more, man. We've already said too much.
Well, does that mean that Owen Wilson is executive producing your next project?
I'm actually signing to Owen Wilson Records.
Congratulations. I thought you were going to say independent, but apparently not.
Well, no, he has international distribution, but for the most part, he likes to keep it to the street.
Yeah. But that was like the craziest thing ever, by the way.
Yeah, he was cool, man. I mean, come on, man. We got to pick who's going to go to this interview. Come on, let's be professional.
It is special. So since you just shut up, Jeff and Eric, then we could talk about Faces. Has your mom listened to Faces yet?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of heavy drug references in there, so I don't know how she... I know that kind of bothers her and my dad.
Yo, there's a lot of heavy, heavy drug use in there.
When in Rome, Jeffrey, do as the Romans do.
No, that was Eric. That was me.
Yeah, that made me, I listened to the tape, that made me a little nervous. Do you not, you talk about being a little nervous to overdose. Are you, you're not worried about that? Like in real life?
No, man, I mean, hey, I'm worried about these dogs right now. But no, I mean, it's like, I'm straight, dude. We all experiment. We all go to the place and we all learn from our own things. And, you know, I'm just honest. I just don't like to be, I don't like to hide anything, but I'm straight. I'm good. I'm in the sauna, baby. I'm good. It's a concern, but no, it's not real. Everything's kosher. I actually just got sober for, like, straight nothing, no weed. I've been completely sober. I gotta be completely sober for 15 days so I can do transcendental meditation. Do you guys meditate?
I don't meditate.
I do not meditate. I'd like to meditate.
It's pretty awesome. But no, the sauna and ice was kind of a form of that. You go in the sauna, it's 250 degrees, and then you immediately try. You sit in there for 15 minutes, and you immediately go into the ice bucket.
Wow. I don't know if I wish I was there or not. But
No,
in the sauna?
Yeah. Yes.
Could you choose either the sauna or the ice bath?
I mean, it's a free world. You can do whatever you want. But the idea is kind of the whole hot and cold transformation.
Wait, I just have a quick question to go back to the drug stuff real quick. Do you feel like the drugs are a part of your artistry at this point, or they're totally separate?
No, wait. Can you repeat the question?
I just wanted to know, like, in terms of the drugs, are they a part of your artistry right now, or is it totally separate where it's, like, just recreational and it is you? Or is this, like, my question is, have the drugs taken you somewhere where you feel you're sort of, like, a better artist because of it? Or is this just, it's a part of your life and the music you record?
No. The most important thing is to always realize the sober you is the best you. But my main drug is a studio. So, you know, the past 2 years I've just been in that room. So, you know, it's certainly taking vacation. No, it's not a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. It's just a thing. But, you know, at some point you recognize it and you move forward.
By the way, Erica?
It's not like doing drugs for the music.
Right. By the way, Erica, Jeff and I have been to Mac Miller's old house. Like, when Mac says he lives in that studio, he really lives in that studio.
Yeah, but so do, like, six other rappers.
Yeah.
We had SZA for the podcast last week, and she kind of bigged you up on your production. She says she was over at the studio working with you, and you had, like, Thundercat at the studio also. Were you recording Faces at that time, or were you recording other music?
I mean, I've been working on, like, a lot of different things at once. And Faces is kind of an idea that came into fruition with the fact that I just had way too much music and I wanted to get it out. Because that's the thing about, like, raps is that they kind of sometimes speak on current things and you just got to get it out at a certain time. But no, SZA actually is why I started producing again. Because I was just rapping, not producing for a while. And she came over and we made You Are and that Warm Wind shit. And it was like, whew. She's amazing. She's one of the awesomest writers as far as people I've been in the studio where she writes her verses in like 5 minutes. It's incredible.
Are you working with Thundercat for his upcoming stuff or was that just for your stuff?
Who knows? I mean, Thunder's just like, there's a small group of people out here that I would consider like really actual friends outside of just music, but not Thunder's just over here all the time and we make music. Which makes it really easy and almost unfair because he's just that good that you just hit record and you have something just that blows your mind every time.
So on your mixtape you say that you did, you know, you've done everything that you've done without getting Drake to work with you. So I'm just wondering why won't you let Drake work with you?
No, I just invited him to my birthday party and he didn't come one time.
Is that for real?
No.
Aw, I was going to say, that's not very Drake-like.
No, that's very Drake-like.
Aw.
no, he didn't. That didn't happen.
I'm kidding.
Wait, can we start a beef between you and Drake?
No, dude, I'm a huge Drake fan. I just, you know, it was less about the actual Drake feature. Just that line.
Obviously, it was you saying that, you know, Drake has, like, that if Drake were to work with certain people, then, like, they get elevated.
It'd be an easy thing.
Yeah, it's an easy thing. It's an easy way to build yourself up, and I think that you were saying that you've done it by yourself.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, like, I think people, like, I've by no means done it by myself. Like, I have great people around me at all times. It's just, you know, it's dope to just kind of be where I'm at and just kind of be the head of my own thing and know that we did this year. It's just cool. But it's not like a shot. Like, it's not like...
No. I was kidding.
But even for the rappers that do get the Drake verse, like, that's awesome. But, you know, I was actually thinking this one day, sitting there thinking, like, could I actually picture myself on a song with, like, Jay-Z? Like, could I actually... Would that make any sense? And I really, like, don't... Like, I would love, like, people... I would love to. But, like, if you guys asked me, like, wouldn't that be weird? Like, that sound right?
I don't... Well, I don't know what...
Yeah, it's like you guys live in, like, very different worlds. I think that Drake would make some sense to me. Just because you guys are contemporaries.
I think it'd be so awesome if you got him on a remix of that song where you say, I did this all without getting a Drake verse.
No, I mean, I love collaborating with people, but I just like for them to come to the little sanctuary.
Yeah, do you need people to be there with you to get a vibe?
No, I mean, they're just all different vibes. You know, sometimes it's like people are all in the studio and it makes your writing process worse. It's just all different. Nothing is necessarily better or worse.
By the way, I was super excited that you got the Rick Ross verse, just like I was super excited when you got the Cam verse a couple years ago.
Yeah, dude. The Ross verse is crazy. But remembering, like, those Cam, and he killed it too, for real. But those Cameron memories are like incredible. Like that. I mean, that's just crazy, dude. It's like, you know, at the same time, I forget that, like, I actually am a real, like, artist out here, like, with a Rick Ross song and stuff. Like, that shit is still wild to me. It's not like it doesn't feel just regular.
Can I just ask a question real quick? How much of an effect was it Pitchfork review from your first album send you in a trajectory that you've been on for the past couple of years?
No, dude, I think it's less than everybody else thinks, and probably more than I think. Like, I think for me, like, the one thing, you get on this high horse and you see it, like, you come out, you're doing shows across the world, touching all these people, and you kind of just, like, forget that that's, like, a craft. So I think at that time, all that really did was just cause me to, like, really check my, you know, my method. Will you guys relax, dude? Like, my method didn't really work on my craft, you know? And it's not like the Pitchfork review, it's just like, it always gets brought to that one review, which, by the way, me having a one on Pitchfork is amazing. But, like, it is. Like, that's awesome. But, you know, I think it's more of a thing that, like, just everyone, like, I hadn't, like, everyone wasn't all going crazy. That was, you know, I'm 18 years old. I wasn't, like, I just been touring and not realizing that, like, there were people out there that were like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just different. But, you know, it was good. It was good. It, like, made me step back and look at everything.
And it probably has to, like, also feel good that Jordan Sargent, who wrote that review, later profiled you for Spin and was like, hey, like, I shouldn't have given you a one, and I've sort of, like, reversed my stance on you.
Well, I mean, dude, like, this is what I realized. Like, it's people commenting on artists, like, it's not, like, this huge, serious thing, you know? And I, even when, like, reviews started getting better, I thought that I'd, like, love to read them all and stuff, but it's, like, it's not, you know, it's people just are saying their opinion. And it's like, if you can't deal with people's opinion, like, I ask my friends, hey, you like this song? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay. Like, it's not like... But I mean, I'm very prolific in, like, I make, like, 500, you know, just a lot of music. And the thing is, like, I forget that everybody else doesn't, like, isn't here with me and know what I'm doing. So, like, there used to be a time where I wanted to try and tell everyone and try and show them what was actually going on. But it's, like, it's kind of impossible to think that people are going to understand the person you are until they sit down and talk with you.
Right.
You mentioned a little earlier, but you cut out as to, like, that you were very honest on Faces. Were you a little hesitant to put all that you put out there?
No. It just is what it is, man. It's, like, it's just life, you know? I'm not ashamed of anything I've ever, like, of everything. Anything I've ever done, I don't regret anything, you know? It's, like, I'm just... It's just, you know, it's like there's responsibility to, like, the kids and stuff like that, but they know, you know, it's like it's not, none of these things are in positive light, you know, like none of these things on the project are spoken of like, yeah, like drugs, and we sit here and do drugs, and we, you know, dance around in circles. It's like, no, it's just reality.
Right. It's how it's really affecting you day to day.
How has your life changed post rostrum?
I'm eating a sandwich. No, dude, I mean, look, man, at the end of the day, I'm just kind of starting to realize that sometimes it's not, like, necessarily, like, about good people, bad people, or anything like that. It's just kind of, like, the stars aren't currently aligned for us to be working together. So life currently has been great, you know? It's like, I just sit here and do what I want, which I needed. Like, it's just nice to just kind of have my operation in my hands again. And, you know, we're rebuilding and everything. But I got love for Benji. I got love for Artie. Like, it ain't nothing serious. It's just I just couldn't be there. And they knew that.
Yeah, when you said on the mixtape that you're doing it without a logo, you guys have Remember Music, right? And is that what you're going to release your future projects on?
As of now, yeah. I mean, you know, like, I'm talking to people. I'm realistic. I'm seeing what's going on there. But, like, if I were to look back at my legacy, I would just want to know that I did everything I could on my own. It's all about basically having people around you that are excited. And we're all growing. You know, it's still the same thing that it was when you guys first met us and when I was 18 or 19, whatever it is, it's still Q, it's still...
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You know, all the homies. So it's like, Ian actually just moved out here. So we're kind of building our own operation and what we do. And it's a business, but it's also just, like, a structure for our lives. Like, at the end of the day, regardless of what label I'm on or if I'm on a label, like, music and my music career is my life, so it's important that the first things first is make
that's what's up.
Feel comfortable.
I was going to ask you, speaking of sandwiches, you launched your mixtape on a new website, Old Jewish, and you where you know people have to create your own deli sandwiches. Yeah. Tell me, and Jeff tried it out. I tried it out.
Right, my sandwich was all bread. It was like a giant bread sandwich.
I wanted to ask you kind of how you came up with that idea. How did that come about?
No, I mean, Old Jewish is really just the brand that I'm kind of doing for certain of my things. We're trying to connect them. And if you go to like a Jewish person's house, their mother forces you to eat. So we wanted to like kind of bring the Old Jewish mother truck out here. And it was fun, dude. It was great. But you know, it's like little interactive games. It's not like purpose or like this huge like, man, I just wanted kids to be out here and know that they could make a sandwich too. And like, life is about making sandwiches, and I wanted to give them all the proper materials. You know, just like, it's just something weird. You can do whatever you want. And that's kind of what I want to, like, tell all these kids and all these artists and everyone is, like, you can, the internet age, you can do whatever. You know, you don't have to be confined to any rules or any type of music release. You can, you know, just, like all my highest-selling records are off remix tape. You know, it's like, there are no rules.
That's amazing.
Right.
It's just like, and that's kind of was my idea for this. It's just kind of like, you know, I damn near killed myself making all this music, and I just wanted to give it out for free because it's just, I don't know, just why not, you know? And if something happens with it, something happens. If not, it's not.
Real quick, so I listened to the whole thing in its entirety. And I feel like there's a lot of stuff on there that is dark and, you know, it's definitely like something you have to listen to. For me, it was something that I had to listen to like the whole way through. And I wonder then, and I had wondered this in the past, for certain things and then saw you in concert. And 'cause I would always think, well, how is he going to perform this live? And then on your last tour, I think when we saw you in New York, I was really impressed with how you brought everything to the stage and everyone still rocked with it. Is this stuff that you think that, because you have to live, and I imagine that like you probably, you know, make money off of touring. Is this, or that's a big means to your money making. Is this a project full of things that you would perform live?
You know, like it's funny because there's definitely a lot of songs on there that I would want to perform live. The whole idea with the, as far as money making, I've been like this whole year not making any money. I've just been like sitting here. So I haven't planned out what I'm going to do as far as a tour yet. But I think the idea with it is kind of like when your homie gave you a mixtape back in the days of burning CDs, it wasn't like this, this really long, like you didn't have to listen all the way through. And I wanted to separate what the mixtape was for the album. And there's just so much music that I was like, man, like, time was, like, liberating. Just be like, fuck it, throw that song on there, too. Like, who cares? Like, give it to them. Because it's either going to sit in my computer or, you know, it's like, you know, I'm proud of all those songs.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. There's, like, 24 songs. So I imagine there was probably more that you wanted to include and you had to cut it all down.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy because, like, I've just kind of... Yeah, like the reason that I've been able to connect with Rick Rubin a lot is because he goes all over the place with what music he produces. And like, that's why I make so much music, because like, it's not like I can't decide an identity. Identity is all these different things. And I enjoy doing everything. And like, that's the end of my, someone's like, you can't, like, if not being able to sing well is like all the more reason to sing. Like, it's not like, you know, it's just sometimes music becomes something that's for all people, and it's really just, I just love to make a bunch of different kinds of music, so I want to put it all out, you know?
Right.
I'm not a rapper, I'm a rapper, you know?
You're a trapper.
Dude, I remember, here's a little anecdote. When I was playing Real Brother, when I was playing you guys Macadelic, and you guys,
yep.
Like, it's crazy. You actually sound really good on trap beats.
Yeah, no, yeah. For real.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you came and came over and sat down and we listened to my old catalog, of songs that didn't come out. You know, it's like, it's not that crazy. And my other favorite thing is like, oh my God, he's getting better. Like, what do you, I'm in here, that's my purpose. Like, I'm trying to get as good as possible. And I think whenever someone thinks they don't need to get better, they're on their way out.
No, of course. I think, look, we heard the stuff here in Brooklyn. You played as Macadelic. I remember watching movies. We heard in your old place, yeah, in L.A. And by the way, I don't think any of the stuff you played us in that session when we were out there for the MTV2 show made it onto that album because you switched the whole sound up.
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, that's basically what it is. That, like, I've gone through, like, 4, 5, 6, 7 different albums in creation, and it's like, they're literally different places and different ideas, and I'm just, you know, I'm kind of trying to figure out what I'm going to do. But the other thing I want to speak on, the I just thought of this thing about the whole, like, direct correlation between a negative review and, like what happened in my life after. I think it was less about, the people. Like, if I really, truly felt able to stand by that music, that wouldn't have bothered me. Like, now, when Watching Movies came out, everyone didn't give that a good review. No, you know what I'm saying? No one, it's like, I got bad reviews on that, too. It's not like, to me, it's like, you know, that's when it kind of tests you, how much do you love your music? Or, like, can you stand by it? And that's kind of what has changed. Because I remember having Blue Slide Park, and I used to do this thing where I wanted to fucking get really, really, like, pop Molly before I would listen to the album before it came out. Don't do drugs. But I'm saying, I remember having a really bad experience with Blue Slide Park. And there's nothing wrong with that album. It just is an album. And, like, forever, not forever, but as long as I'm here, it's going to be this funny thing. It's, like, it's not even bad. It's just different. It's a little, like, more surfacey. But, like, I didn't, you know, that's not what I was really going for at that point, and now it is. It's not, like, and it's not because of drugs, either. It's not, like, I started, like, I've been doing drugs since I was 10 years old, you know, it's not, like, I guess I just hit it a little better back then.
Yeah, but you've gone from weed and alcohol to coke and lean.
I mean, it's a little. You know, that was the awesome Barbara Walters pause. for me personally, it's never necessarily one DOC drug of choice. But yeah, dude, I experiment. Like, am I proud of it? Do I, like, want to rep it? No, but do I rap about it because it's what's going on? Yeah. Would I suggest kids to do drugs? Hell no. I wouldn't even suggest kids to smoke weed. I would, you know, it's like, just chill out. And that's why parents should vote me Babysitter of the Year, Mac Miller.
We took up a lot of your time, a lot of your sleeping time. So I appreciate you coming on the podcast and being as honest on the podcast as you are on Faces. And I know you have a lot of stuff to do and you're still working on stuff right now. So thank you for doing that.
Thanks, Mac.
Bye, Mac.
Bye. Thank you, Erica, for holding down the billboard over there. You're a gangster.
Oh, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Now is a great time to talk about music.
Mm-hmm.
New music.
New music.
New music. I know that there is one specific song that you've been listening to, especially the Cam and A-Track.
Yes,
yes. So good.
It's so great. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like old Dipset. And Jewels is on there, mm-hmm. right? So for those who don't know, A-Track, who runs along
Fool's
in the
Gold,
Cash
right?
Dubs, Fool's Gold Records, Cameron and Dame Dash got together and were like, let's work on a project with you guys. And they have been. And they brought in Just Blaze to co-produce a track. And it sounds so good.
Yeah. And the video is really great, too.
Video's great.
And one of the people that you've been listening to recently is part of a duo, Chromeo. And they're in the video.
They are in the video.
Yeah. Maybe only Dave was in the video. But
no, they're both in the video. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So no, I love it.
You guys have been listening to their new album also.
Yes. Yes. I've definitely been listening to it. I think Jeff has, like, you know, heard
by
it from
osmosis. Yeah.
Yeah. From my computer.
But I mean, like, it's only because you're already playing it playing it.
No, definitely. Yeah. It's so good. So their new album is called White Women, which is a play on the Helmut Newman. Lang.
Oh, right.
Helmut Newman. Book. But also it's like white women, meaning like, you know, in white veils, it's getting married. But it's really, really, really good. It's so good. It's catchy. It's fun. It's dance. It's like elements of hip hop in there. It's really, really solid. It's really great. And I'm looking forward to seeing them on Saturday.
Yeah.
Awesome. Where are they performing on?
Terminal 5
in New York City.
May 17th. I don't know when this is getting put up.
Yes.
56th Street.
Mm-hmm. But it's really great. I highly recommend it. It's music that I bought.
It's sold out.
Wow,
so you can't
go. That's when you know
it's real. Can't get tickets.
Yeah, no, honestly.
You know it's real when you purchase music.
But let me just say that the song of the summer already is Loyal by Chris Brown.
That's a good.
It's been the song, and it's going to remain the song.
I would also say that Two On by
Tinashe,
yeah.
Good. That could, because I feel like everybody's jumping on it right now.
DJ
Mustard,
yes.
Regardless.
Can we talk about DJ Mustard?
Yeah, sure.
Just put out his own song, Down On Me, with mm-hmm. 2 Chainz mm-hmm. and Ty Dolla $ign. And then also he produced Jeremiah's new single, Don't Tell Him, featuring YG.
He reproduced it, what does that mean?
No, he co-produced it.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah.
He co-produced the song, Jeremiah's new single. And
do you like
I feel
it?
Like, no, I do. It's very...
Wait, sing us the beat.
No.
Is there any...
Mustard will never be on the podcast if I
Is there any Mustard
the
song you don't like?
No.
Right. I mean,
no.
He's exactly. got a like pretty great track record.
Yes.
It just feels like he's been working for a minute, but it just feels like this summer is his summer.
Yes.
Unquestionably. So Summer Jam... If we go, we're looking forward to that DJ Mustard set because he can bring out whoever,
anyone,
especially if Chris
everyone.
Brown gets out of jail in time, which I read is possible.
Right.
But by the way, so in preparation for our LA trip, Jeff has a Spotify list of all DJ Mustard stuff, right?
Yes.
Every single one. As far as you can find.
Well, on Spotify, right.
And so Jeff took a lot of those songs and put them on his iPod in preparation for our trip out to LA to play in the car. And DJ Mustard, as Jeff said, makes Kid Ink listenable.
Mm-hmm. Aw, subtle shots.
No, that's a good thing about DJ Mustard. He'll be on the podcast now.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been not Kid Ink anymore. Well, Mariah Carey's Thirsty.
Yeah, I listened to that last night.
Oh,
are you just making a statement?
Yeah, which is really funny, right? Yeah.
No, I want Mariah Carey also on the podcast. Mariah Carey's Thirsty featuring Rich Homie Quan. The Rich Homie Quan feature was a bit of a surprise.
Well, it's a very loose term, I think, like to feature him.
I think that verse will get so quickly cut when it's on Z100.
Is it a verse?
It's a verse.
I just heard him in the background.
Quick 8 bars now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely on it.
Do you know the song Big Homie by Diddy or Puff?
No.
Daddy? That he put out with Rick Ross.
Right.
It's the one listed
from MMM.
Yes, from MMM.
Yes.
It's listed as Puff Daddy featuring Rick Ross and French Montana. The only thing he does in that song is say,
That's
it.
You need to credit. Yo, shout out to Puff for crediting people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Shout out to Money Making Mitch.
I don't know. What are you listening to?
Pretty much what we talked about, and also Jasmine Sullivan's new single, Dumb, with mm-hmm. Meek Mill. Although
she's back, huh?
She is definitely back. Although I wish that she was singing more than like proclaiming and
mm-hmm. I have a question
semi-shouting as if Meek Mill.
What do you think?
As Meek Mill does.
What do you think of the Michael Jackson single with Justin Timberlake?
I like it.
It's good, right?
We have an in-house hater of the Michael Jackson album, which will be on the next week's podcast.
Jason Lipschitz?
That's pretty good. No, it's not Jason Lipschitz, but
an in-house hater.
Yeah, an in-house hater.
Like Ooh. Up and down, doesn't like any Michael records. Or new.
No,
Michael.
He does not like the new album.
Okay, gotcha. Wait.
Yes, he does not like.
I have not listened to the new album, but I feel like this is the one song that I like, and I don't like the one with Justin on it as much.
I haven't heard the entire album, but I don't mind.
I haven't heard the whole album either. I'm just saying I just feel like this is the one. Because everybody says that this is like the only one from the Thriller sessions. And that everything else goes from like
this
bad.
This is from the Thriller sessions?
Yeah. This is from 1983. It was with Paul Anka.
Really?
Yep.
That's really
interesting. And so then everything else is from bad and worse. Am I right? And thank you.
Is that a draft of a tweet?
Yeah. Hold on. It goes from bad to worse. And so...
Oh, let me just put out...
Thank you. but that... There's like stuff from like the Invincible sessions and stuff. And I just don't... Like,
Butterflies was on Invincible.
Miss me with that.
Featuring Eve.
Miss me with
that. Oh, I loved Butterflies. Eve.
Who's getting married soon?
Do you know who's officiating?
I hope she
Bun B.
plays.
How amazing is that?
Very amazing.
Yeah.
I hope Butterflies is performed.
Stop talking about Butterflies.
I love this Butterflies song. on that note, we're wrapping up.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to wrap up with me telling you to be quiet?
Yes.
That's good.
Because now you're off the podcast.
Yeah.
We're wrapping up this episode of The Juice
with
podcast.
The Jews.
You guys. Alan. again, hit me up on Twitter at @3rica to let me know what you think.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.